So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, I am back for another 30 minutes here, and as promised, I am starting the new series here, which is this month in white history. You know, blacks have Black History Month and all that sort of nonsense. So on this show here, as suggested by listener Mike up in New York, he is going to be submitting these for me every month, and I will run them down. Typically, it's going to be the first week of each month. I had a good show I had to do last week. I just had to run by you, so it got pushed back until this week. But let me start out here. On April the 4th in 1581, English sea captain Francis Drake was awarded a knighthood by Queen Elizabeth on board the Golden Hind in Deptford. Now, I don't know if that's Hind or Hind. Not familiar with that boat anyway. On April 4th in 1821, engineer Linus Yale Jr. was born in Salisbury, New York, although up there they may pronounce it Salisbury. He invented the cylinder lock, which is still widely used today, of course. That's a schlag. April 4th in 18... These all seem to be April... Okay, I see. They're going kind of chronological over here. April 4th, 1826, Belgian engineer Zenobe Graham was born in some place that I cannot pronounce, so I'm not even going to try. He did, however, build the first commercially useful electric motor in 1869. Now, on April 4th in 1968, NASA launched Apollo 6, which was the second and last unmanned test flight of the Saturn V launch vehicle. Very incredible vehicle. If you've never seen one of these, these things are huge. I've seen one at Cape Canaveral, and it was so big they couldn't even stand it up. They had to lay it on its side. April 9th, 1413, Henry V was crowned the King of England at Westminster Abbey. On April 9th, 1770, German physicist Thomas Johann Seebeck was born in Reval. Now, he was the discoverer of the thermoelectric effect. Never was much into science. I'm sure some of you out there know what that is, although I do not. On April the 9th in 1860, French inventor Edward Leon Scott de Martinville made the first recording of a human voice using a phonautograph. Okay, I guess that was the forerunner of the phonograph, the phonautograph. Okay, and anyway, he invented that. In 1959, on April the 9th. Let's see, who's this here? I hate when these things are... Oh, it's NASA. Introduced the Mercury 7 to the public. That was the USA's first seven astronauts who would participate in the Mercury program. On April the 10th in 1925, The Great Gatsby was first published. By whom, I do not know, but it's listed here as a white accomplishment. April 12th, 1608, the United Kingdom adopted the Union flag, which was a new flag to represent the regal union between England and Scotland. I'm assuming that's the naval jack. On April 12th in 1961, Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first human in outer space and the first to orbit the Earth. On April 12th in 2008, the Oslo Opera House was first opened with a gala performance hosted by King Harald V of Norway. On April 14th in 1028, Henry III was crowned King of Germany in the Cathedral of the Aachen by Pilgrim, Archbishop of Cologne. April 14th, 1434, the foundation stone was laid for Nantes Cathedral, also known as the Cathedral of St. Peter and St. Paul in Nantes. April 15th in 1452, Leonardo da Vinci was born in Florence. April 18th in 1506, construction began on St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City. On April 20th, 1303, how in the world do you pronounce that? Sapienza University of Rome was founded by Pope Boniface VIII. It was Italy's largest and most prestigious university. On April 20th, 1864, French scientist Louis Pasteur and Claude Bernard carried out the first pasteurization test, which we all know turned out very well. April 21st, 1519, Hernan Cortes landed near modern Veracruz, Mexico. Within 2 years, he had conquered the vast Aztec Empire on behalf of Spain. April 23rd, 1661, Charles II was crowned King of England and Ireland at Westminster Abbey. On April 24th, 1718, Irish painter Nathaniel Hone the Elder was born. Several of his works are held at the National Portrait Gallery in London. On April 24th, in 1743, Edmund Cartwright was born in Nottinghamshire. In 1784 and 85, he designed and built the first power loom. That was very good for the construction of the revolution there. Help me out here, George. What is it? We had it in New England. The Industrial Revolution. Thank you, George. On April 21st, 1815, Anthony Trollope was born in London. He became one of the most successful and respected English novelists in the Victorian era. On April 24th, in 1845, Swiss poet Carl Spittler was born in Leichtal. He was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1919. April 25th in 1719, Robinson Crusoe was first published by Daniel Defoe. April 27th, 1791, Samuel Morse was born in Charlestown, Mass. He was the co-inventor of a single-wire telegraph system and Morse code bearing his name. And finally, on April the 27th in 1810, German composer Ludwig van Beethoven composed Für Elise, which is one of his most popular compositions. So some interesting stuff that has happened during the month of April throughout the years. So once again, thank you to Brother Mike up in New York for sending those to me, and we'll continue to do this in the first week of each month from here on out. Apologize for not being able to see those things. The font's kind of small, and my eyesight's getting a little bit worse. I'm starting to feel like Mr. Magoo here, but I was able to get through that. So now I want to kind of take off or start where I left off last week. Now, if you remember last week, I did a satirical piece about assault weapons being banned and how people responded. And of course, it was about the American Revolution. Well, unfortunately, folks, this week, the news reports I'm going to give you are real gun confiscations that are going on right now in Massachusetts and in Illinois. And additionally, not only are they banning assault weapons, they're also banning assault pets. Have you ever heard of an assault pet? I haven't. But apparently they have named several breeds that they deem to be dangerous breeds, and they are being banned in this particular neighborhood, so I'm going to get into that as well. So let me start out with this article out of Massachusetts. It's entitled, "Massachusetts' Ban on Assault Weapons Doesn't Violate the Second Amendment," some moron judge apparently ruled. Now, apparently this is going back to a case from several years ago where this ruling was made and it was challenged in court, and this federal judge has upheld the original ruling. So this judge in Massachusetts this past Friday ruled against a lawsuit that questioned the state's ban on assault weapons in large-capacity magazines, declaring that the weapons were not protected by the Second Amendment. Well, see, that's where we start getting the slippery slope, folks. Second Amendment is not about hunting. It's about being able to defend yourself from judges like this. Now, it says that assault weapons are considered to be military firearms, U.S. District Judge William Young said in his ruling, thereby disqualifying them from being included in a citizen's right to bear arms. Do you see where it's going, folks? There's no clear-cut definition of an assault weapon, because we are not allowed to own assault weapons. As we all know, assault weapons are full-auto submachine guns, not semi-auto sporting rifles like we currently own. So policymakers, rather than the courts, were better suited to decide on the regulation for the weapons, he said. Nope. He goes on to say that other states are equally free to leave them unregulated and available to their law-abiding citizens, he went on to say in his ruling. These policy matters are simply not of constitutional moment. Americans are not afraid of bumptious, raucous, and robust debate about these matters. We call it democracy. No, actually, I call that Democrats. Now, the lawsuit was filed against State Attorney General Maura Healey last year by the Gun Owners Action League of Massachusetts, among other parties who claimed that AR-15s couldn't be considered a military weapon because of their inability to shoot in fully automatic mode. My point exactly. They also claimed the ban infringed on Second Amendment rights, which it does. The notion was ruled out, however, as a judge pointed out that the design of semi-automatic AR-15s are based on guns that were first manufactured for military purposes, and that the AR-15 is common and well known in the military. Yeah, what does that have anything to do with it? Just because it's well known in the military. They know the Colt 45 in the military, too. You're going to consider that an assault weapon? This is what we're dealing with, folks. This kind of stupid, moronic mentality. He continues, the AR-15 and its analogs, along with large-capacity magazines, are simply not weapons within the original meaning of the individual constitutional right to bear arms, Young said. Really? Well, what is the Second Amendment? A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? That falls entirely within there. The militia carries these style weapons. It doesn't matter if, at the time, their military-style weapons were muzzleloaders. What counts is that the militia of today uses these types of weapons, and that's exactly why we need to keep them. The decision was championed by Healey, who said the judge's decision vindicates the right of the people of Massachusetts to protect themselves from these weapons of war and my office's efforts to enforce the law, which you apparently have no idea of what these laws mean. Weapons of war. Jeez, what is wrong with these people? Strong gun laws save lives, she continued. Oh, really? Let's look at Washington, D.C., New York City, L.A., Chicago, yeah. Strong guns take lives. Strong gun laws do not save them, they take them. But she goes on to say, we will not be intimidated by the gun lobby in our efforts to end the sale of assault weapons and protect our communities and schools. Families across the country should take heart in this victory. No. We should be very heart-fallen. This is not a victory, this is a loss. This is a victory for the anti-gunners and these left-wing liberal loonies who want to disarm you so that you cannot protect yourself against them. Now, this ruling in Massachusetts follows an ongoing debate about AR-15s due in part to their use in shootings such as the violent spree in Parkland, Florida on Valentine's Day that left 17 people dead. Authorities said the shooter, Nicholas Cruz, used an AR-15 during the deadly assault. It's got nothing to do with banning weapons elsewhere. Young also upheld Healey's 2016 enforcement notice to gun sellers and manufacturers clarifying what constitutes a copy or duplicate weapon under the 1998 assault weapon ban, including copies of the Colt AR-15 and the Kalashnikov AK-47. The Massachusetts assault weapons ban mirrors the federal gun ban that expired in 2004 that bans the sale of specific and name brand weapons and explicitly bans copies or duplicates of those weapons. Okay, so now what does that mean for people who already legally owned one? I mean, did they have to turn it in? Because the story that I'm going to get into after the break up in Illinois actually deals with not just the banning, but the outright confiscation of these firearms, folks. They are literally coming around door to door demanding that you turn in your guns or you will be fined $1,000 a day. Gonna take a quick little break here. Be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're gonna love this, folks. You're just gonna absolutely love this.
Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com, and remember to always be prepared.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Let's get into this story now about this town banning assault weapons, because again, this isn't just a simple ban. However, the title says an Illinois town just banned assault weapons. The penalty if you keep one, up to $1,000 a day. So this is the village of Deerfield. They say it's in northern Illinois. It's actually a suburb of Chicago, so big surprise there. But you got to hear this, folks. They just passed a ban on assault weapons. But according to this article, it affects much more than just sales and manufacturing. If the 18,000 residents of the Chicago suburb don't forfeit or secure weapons that fall under the ban by June 13th, they will be charged from $200 to $1,000 a day as a penalty. Now, they say that they want a sense of safety. Well, so do I, which is why I need to have one to defend myself against politicians like this. Now, according to this ordinance, the Village Board of Trustees unanimously approved this thing this past Monday night. It is now unlawful for a person to carry, keep, bear, transport, or possess an assault weapon in the village, except if the weapon is broken down in a non-functioning state, is not immediately accessible to any person, or is unloaded and enclosed in a case, firearm carrying box, shipping box, or other container by a person who has been issued a currently valid firearms owner identification card. I hate those FOIDs. You know, here in North Carolina, you can own a gun. You don't have to get permission to own a gun. As long as you can legally own a firearm, you can have one, and you don't have to carry that stupid card around. Now, law enforcement officers, current and retired, are exempt from this. Yeah, big surprise there, right? Now, this ordinance makes specific reference to the recent mass shootings in Parkland, Florida, once again, Vegas, Sutherland Springs, Texas. Assault weapons have been increasingly used in an alarming number of notorious mass shooting incidents at public places, public venues, places of worship, and places of public accommodation, the ordinance reads. Yeah, but you're failing to take into account that this was conducted by criminals, and criminals never obey the law. Why don't these people ever get this? I don't understand. The authors of the legislation claim the law may increase the public's sense of safety, notwithstanding potential objections regarding the availability of alternative weaponry or the enforceability of such a ban. Well, of course, gun advocates are calling it draconian, which it is. Objections, as you might imagine, have come in spades. On Thursday morning, the Illinois State Rifle Association announced that they and the Second Amendment Foundation have already jointly filed a lawsuit against the village of Deerfield. They are blatantly violating state law, and they are violating the Second Amendment, says Richard Pearson, who is the executive director of the Illinois State Rifle Association. And he said that he had been receiving waves of calls from people upset over the ban and is confident in their legal challenge that it will prevail. They're just draconian, he says. A guy or a lady who owns a large capacity magazine or anything like that could owe thousands of dollars, and if they cross the thin, almost invisible line between municipalities, they could be considered a criminal. Now, the NRA is supporting a similar lawsuit. You know, everybody needs to come together on this, folks. It really does. Now, there's a lot more to this story, but it's just incredible. I can't believe that people are standing by and allowing this to happen. I really can't. And it's good to see these lawsuits being filed. That's what we need to do. We need to strike back. We need to take this nation back. It's getting to the point, folks, where they've almost gone too far. In this case, I really think they crossed the line. They clearly violated the law. Now, it's not outright confiscation where you have to actually turn them in, but what good is owning it if it's inaccessible or must be broken down to where it can't be used? That makes no sense unless you're a liberal. Then it makes perfect sense because it makes your weapon unable to be used lawfully. Is that going to stop someone who wants to commit a crime from putting it back together and loading it? Of course not. But that's not the point, is it? The point is all about control. Pure and simple. So the final story that I'm going to get into today is about the banning of these assault pets, namely assault dogs, by a neighborhood in Lexington, Kentucky. Now it says Lexington neighborhood bands, Danes, Dobermans, Germans, Shepherds, St. Bernards, and more. So apparently this neighborhood, the people who live in this neighborhood, they were notified last week that several dog breeds, including Pit Bulls, Great Danes, and Huskies, were being banned. Homeowners in McConnell's Trace were sent letters by the neighborhood developer detailing a change to an existing dog restriction, which previously referred only to unspecified aggressive breeds, said Josh McKern, who was president of the area's neighborhood association. See, I hate neighborhood associations. I think they are unconstitutional. I mean, they come in and they make their own rules and regulations, and if you don't abide by them, you get fined. I would never live in a neighborhood with a neighborhood association again. I did with my girlfriend several years ago, and we got out of there real, real quick. It says, now German Shepherds, St. Bernards, and Chows are among the list of 11 dog breeds restricted from the neighborhood. McKern said that the Homeowners Association did not have a vote on the restrictions and did not write the language. Since the memo was sent out, McKern says he has heard from those who don't have pets, don't have dogs, or don't want to be restricted in what kind of dog they can have. Exactly. I've heard it from both ends of the spectrum. Well, maybe you need to get it up both ends, then maybe you start to understand it, you jackass. The developer for McConnell's Trace, Anderson Properties, could not immediately be reached for comment. As the president, I've reached out to neighbors, and I said I would be happy to have a one-to-one sit-down with them and relay any message to the developer, McKern said. Yeah, do you think it's going to make a difference? They've already made their minds up. There's also a semi-annual meeting from the McConnell's Trace Neighborhood Association scheduled for late May. This is according to the association's Facebook page. McKern himself owns a Doberman and two other dogs, but said that it is understanding current animals and their owners would be grandfathered in. Yeah, see, that's how they always get around this. Oh, it doesn't affect me, so I'm okay with that. No, don't be okay with that. So, the named breeds are this. German Shepherds, Rottweilers, Mastiffs, Doberman Pinschers, Pit Bulls, including American Staffordshire Terriers, American Pit Bull Terriers, Staffordshire Bull Terriers, and any dogs containing characteristics of those breeds. Huskies, Alaskan Malamutes. Alaskan Malamutes are Huskies. They may not be Siberian Huskies, but they're Huskies. Chows, Great Danes, St. Bernards, yes, those big, lovable dogs, and Akitas. Now, Shannon Smith, who is the founder of the pit bull advocacy group Lexington Pit Crew, said breed restrictions are disheartening. And she said the issues with bully breeds, such as pit bulls and Rottweilers, are often the result of human error, particularly when the owner of the dog has done something wrong. Now, she admits that pit bulls and pit bull mixes are strong dogs and that their owners have to be willing to work and train them. You just have to be on top of your game, she said. If you have a bully breed, you have to watch it because, regardless of the situation, you're always going to get the blame. And that's what results in things like this. You know, blame the gun instead of the owner. You know, blame the dog instead of the owner. Most of these really vicious dogs are bred by Negroes to be vicious. You don't generally find vicious dogs in white neighborhoods. Not to say they're not there, because I've been bitten by them, but they're not as plentiful. So this is just so incredibly stupid, folks. It never ceases to amaze me what these people are doing. Every day, more and more of our liberties are being taken from us. Our liberties, our freedoms are being stolen. So on that note, it is time for me to sign out here. So as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may drop me an email at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, y'all take care. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.